Welcome to the Leadership Decoded podcast. Here, we break down leadership concepts to give you practical tips on how to lead at your very best at work and in your everyday life. I'm your host, Dr. Will Ramey, a former U.S. Army officer and combat veteran, a current team and leadership development workshop facilitator, and executive education adjunct professor. Today's topic is something everybody faces as a leader on a daily basis: decision-making. Our decision-making is impacted by our cognitive biases. So if you think about it, how information is presented to you, when information is presented to you, the first piece of information that you hear, every little bit of this impacts how we make decisions. So what we're going to dive into today is how to make decisions at your very best. Let's dive in. This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the industry leader of the portable at-home wood-burning sauna. Being a leader can be stressful. That's why I've been a sauna user for many years. Did you know that consistent sauna usage 3 to 4 times a week not only relieves stress and improves sleep, but it also enhances your physical well-being and fosters mental resilience and cognitive clarity to be a better leader? And you no longer have to go to a crowded gym or buy one of those expensive and bulky at-home setups to experience the benefits of a sauna. Sweat Tent is the most portable and affordable at-home sauna on the market. The setup takes minutes and can reach 200 degrees in under 30 minutes. Harness the power of the Sweat Tent sauna to lead with clarity and poise. Sweat out stress, ignite creativity, and emerge a more focused leader. All Leadership Decoded listeners will receive $100 off when you use code LEAD100. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code LEAD100 at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code LEAD100. Sweat Tent, improving your ability to lead at work and in your everyday life.
This episode is brought to you by CNG Tutoring. Founded by Janelle and Chris Seaton, CNG Tutoring is Northeastern Pennsylvania's leading tutoring service. Our experienced state-certified tutors provide personalized one-on-one sessions tailored to each student's unique learning style. From math and science to reading, writing, and even Spanish, we cover it all. We also offer top-notch SAT prep designed to help students sharpen the skills they need to achieve their goals on the SAT. Join the countless families who trust CNG Tutoring with award-winning educators and a 5-star parent rating. We offer in-person and virtual tutoring using 21st century learning techniques. Visit cngtutoring.com today and start your child's journey to academic excellence. CNG Tutoring, ignite your mind.
This episode is brought to you by FitAF. As a leadership coach, I understand the importance of fueling both body and the mind. Balancing coaching sessions, workshops, and personal development can be demanding, and that's where FitAF steps in. FitAF offers an ever-changing menu crafted by top chefs and nutrition experts to ensure you're getting the best quality meals. Their diverse selection caters to various dietary preferences and needs, including keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and more. As a valued listener, enjoy an exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more by using code LEADER at checkout at fitafnutrition.com. Again, that's code LEADER for 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more at fitafnutrition.com. I remember as a member of a leadership team, we had a big move we were making within our organization. We were switching how we were going to operate our quality management system. And my team was responsible for the overwatch of quality assurance and quality control. I had a subordinate leader who was the point of contact for this change. His department was leading the charge. And he would set a meeting on a Thursday or Friday afternoon at about 2 o'clock, which is towards the end of the work day, towards the end of the work week. And in these meetings, he would not just be providing information, but he was looking for an actual decision from the senior leadership team. So he prepared all week and he'd gather information. We'd run through a little bit of a prep session and we'd have our outcomes clearly defined. And after 2 or 3 of these meetings, he'd come back and the senior leadership team wouldn't make a decision. We would either delay or punt down the road or ask for more information. And we had a conversation about this. He wanted to know why. And I gave my opinion. I told him, you're scheduling this meeting at the end of the day, at the end of the week. The cognitive load for this senior leadership team has been spent. Think about it. At the end of your day, how mentally resilient or mentally prepared are you to make a critical decision, a big decision about your business? You're probably not. At the end of your week, after the accumulation of work has piled up, How enthused are you about making a critical decision that could shape your business for decades to come? You're probably not. So, you know, reluctantly, you may, or unconsciously, you may find ways to move that decision down the road. And it could be because you don't clearly understand what's being presented. Again, you're a little bit fuzzy towards the end of the day or end of the week. It could be that you're just non-committal because of the way the information is coming in and you want some more information. Again, no fault of your own. So he and I talked and we shifted and we said, hey, let's shift this to one sometime before noon. We need to have the meeting in the morning, whatever day we can get on the calendars. And two, let's try to have the meeting towards the front half of the week. So we skipped a week cycle and we shifted. And what we found was the senior leadership team was fresher. They were more engaged in the conversation and more willing to make a decision in that meeting rather than just gathering information and hearing more. So what we found was when we presented information, the way we presented information, and how we presented information, the order that we presented it in made a huge difference in getting a decision, which was the desired outcome of the conversation. So what I want to break down today are three cognitive biases, or three ways of breaking down decision making that can help you as a leader make better decisions. One is the framing effect. The second is anchoring bias. And the third is decision fatigue. Let's get into it. The framing effect is what we'll start with. And this cognitive bias, it really influences decision making based on how information is processed. So think about, for example, consider how an opportunity described as having a 90% success rate. This will have a 90% success rate. Sounds compared to this will have a 10% failure rate. Think about how that lands in your ear and then how that runs through your mind. A 90% success rate doesn't sound too bad. A 10% failure rate, that sounds a little bit more risky. So how we frame information to our team, to decision makers, to our fellow leaders makes a difference. So as a team leader, it's crucial to recognize when framing information, how it might be influencing your decisions. So first, be aware of the frame itself. Acknowledge that the way information is set up. Challenge yourself to reframe that information in a different way. How might the first pass of presenting information sound to somebody? Check it, prep it, listen to it yourself. Think about maybe what's the positive way of spinning this, or what's the different way of saying this? What's the opposite approach? And play with some of that phrasing for how you want to set up and frame either a decision or information or influence of a group. The second way is to seek multiple perspectives. Consult your team, consult your colleagues to gather diverse views on the decision at hand. When you get different people's perspective, people see the world differently. So their frames are different. When you bring different people into the table and you bring different thoughts into the conversation, that frame is different. So you're going to have people help you see the bigger picture. And maybe, you know, as we say, open your aperture, open your frame, or see things through a different frame, a different lens that you may not have considered, which leads to better decisions. And the third is focusing on core data. Strip away the subjective. Sometimes you need to strip away the narrative and focus on the raw data and facts. Ask yourself, what's the objective? What's the neutral way of presenting this information? So that when you start to practice this, that emotional side isn't the first filter of your decision making. You can look at the facts and figures. Now, you know, marketing, and there's a whole science behind the psychology of advertisement and the psychology of sales. But at work, when you want a clear, objective decision, strip away some of that emotion, strip away that subjective, and get down to the facts and figures at hand so you can frame things in a more logical approach to decision making. So let's talk about the second thing. Anchoring bias. Anchoring bias occurs when we rely too heavily on the first piece of information presented. So imagine when you're estimating a project timeline and the first estimate you hear is 6 months. It's going to take at least 6 months to complete this phase, or 6 months to complete this project. And that may knock you back. 6 months may be too long. Or six, and then the second estimate comes in and says, well, it's really only going to be, you know, 4 months, or it's going to be 8 months. Whatever that second piece of information is, up or down, you have now anchored to the first piece of information that you heard. So when people start throwing out numbers in a conversation that's desired to have an outcome of a decision being made, be very cautious of throwing that number out or throwing that figure out, because you tend to naturally anchor to the first thing, and then anything after that you start to compare things to. And this is where divergent thinking methods can really help shape a conversation. So when you have multiple ideas or multiple figures that are presented at one point in time together, it levels the playing field and it kind of helps you to avoid that anchor. I want to share with you some ways on how we can counter anchoring bias. The first is to recognize your anchors. Identify when an anchor has been set. So when you're listening to people, ask yourself the question, is this number, is this timeline, or is this plan a result of an initial suggestion, or is it based on thorough analysis? So when you hear people say things like, well, the fact of the matter is, and then they give a subjective answer, or they say, well, I think we've got a 50% chance of success. Ask them where they got that number, where they got that figure before we start anchoring the conversation to it. The second is delay forming an opinion. So this is where that divergent thinking, that divergent problem-solving approach comes in handy. Before setting on a course of action, gather as much information as possible, as many different views as possible from varying sources. This will help us avoid making early judgments that we anchor to on the sequential information being presented. So bring pieces of the puzzle together. Ask different people their opinion. Have that time where we brainstorm and have ideas thrown out on the table before we go to that second step or that second conversation. And the third way to counter anchoring bias is to reevaluate regularly. Periodically revisit the decisions as new information comes in. Ask yourself, if I had this piece of information, would we change direction? Would we change where we want to head? As your team brings up new information, ask your team to challenge the status quo, challenge that initial anchor, and propose alternative scenarios. This helps you become adaptable, it helps you pivot, and it helps you not be so rigid when you're holding on to what may be that first anchor. Anchoring can limit our ability to adapt. Recognizing it, challenging our anchors, and setting up a system in place to have divergent thought and diversity of thought at the table helps us become more flexible and make more informed decisions. And the third piece is decision fatigue. The phenomenon of decision fatigue occurs when the quality of our decisions deteriorates because we become mentally exhausted throughout our day. Now, there's ways to counter that. That's a whole different conversation on how you can develop ways to focus, task manage, time manage your work. But the fact of the matter is that we're humans. We have a limited amount of time in the day. We want to make the most of it, and we want to make the best quality decision possible. And as leaders, we are constantly making decisions. We are constantly being asked to pivot and listen and absorb information and you know, give some direction or make some decision because we have that authority that we hold. So ask yourself, have you ever found yourself feeling overwhelmed by decisions as the day goes on? And towards the end of the day or towards the end of the week, you say, hey, I just can't do that. Let's reschedule that conversation, or can we come back next week, or let me think about it overnight. You start to give these ways of just pushing back and pushing off and delaying a decision that needs made. And that really doesn't do anybody any good within your team, because it delays progress. And if you end up forcing yourself to make a decision, it may not be the best, highest quality decision that you can make for you and your team. So really, to manage decision fatigue, what we want to do is, one, prioritize important decisions. Make those critical decisions early in the day, early in the week. Schedule that time, block that time, give yourself the time to prepare right before, give yourself the clarity in the moment, manage and control your calendar so that you know you're doing the tough stuff first. You're making the tough decisions first when you're freshest throughout your day. Save the less important decisions for later, or better yet, empower your team to make some of those lesser important decisions so that you take that off your plate and you give your team the opportunity to participate in the decision-making process and own and be accountable for some of that work that's well within their left and right limits. Second, limit your options. Reduce the number of choices you need to make by setting clear criteria beforehand. This can prevent you from becoming overwhelmed by endless possibilities and endless scenarios. So limit yourself on what you're going to make a decision on, when you're going to make decisions, what criteria, set yourself up a gateway of, is this a decision that I need to make? If it meets this criteria, I need to make it. If it doesn't meet this criteria, you can make it. Again, this is partly on how you can start to empower your team and give them some authority to operate and ownership in the process of the work that you do. And the third, create routines. Automate routine decisions such as what to wear, what to eat for breakfast. Conserve your mental energy for the more significant decisions you need to make throughout your day. So some of those things that you don't need to decide, set yourself up for success, first thing in the morning by preparing yourself the night before. Set yourself up for success by having that read ahead document, that executive summary of a decision before you walk into that conversation. Limit those decisions that are non-essential and just let them go. Let go of that control so you can focus your time and attention on the bigger picture items. And lastly, take breaks. Schedule breaks throughout your day to get into your biorhythm so that you have time to clear your head, clear your heart, lower your stress so that you can make an informed decision as you progress throughout your day. So put the hard stuff up front, give yourself those 20-minute breaks, get off the computer, get away from the desk, go for a walk, try to maybe put on some lighthearted, uplifting music, whatever it may be, so that you can have those 15 to 20-minute breaks in your natural rhythm throughout the day to come back stronger, clearer, and more present for your team that's relying on you potentially to make these decisions. So by managing decision fatigue, we can really ensure that all the important decisions are thoughtful and deliberate rather than rushed and impulsive. Effective decision-making as a team leader requires awareness of the mental shortcuts our brains take, whether it be through the framing effect, anchoring bias, decision fatigue, or a number of other cognitive biases. By understanding these challenges and applying the things that we discussed, you can counteract or combat or mitigate the impact that they'll have on our decision-making, so you can make more rational, balanced, and informed decisions for your team. Remember, recognizing these biases isn't just about making better decisions for yourself. It's also about setting an example for your team, giving them the opportunity to make decisions on their own, seeing you model the process of being thoughtful, having time to make well-considered decisions, they'll be more likely to follow suit. Thanks for tuning in to Leadership Decoded here in the Loop Internet Studio. If you enjoyed today's episode and found value in it, leave us a comment, drop us a review, download the episode, and share it with your fellow leaders. We're here to serve. If you're an organization looking to invest in your leaders and teams, I want to work with you. I provide research-backed, highly engaging, creativity-infused learning experiences for your teams. We dive into topics, we have practical applications, and your teams come out with the mindset and skill set around leadership that they'll need to drive your business forward. You can connect with me on LinkedIn at Dr. William Ramey, on Instagram at Leadership Decoded Pod, or you can check out my website, drwilliamramey.com, or email me here at will@onthestacks.com. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you the next time you press play.